I don't know if we mentioned yet. If not, we have about 31 students and adults who are out on confirmation retreat this weekend. And so if you see someone you're normally used to seeing, they're not here, just go ahead and assume they're not skipping church for the Super Bowl. They're at confirmation retreat. And so we're grateful for those students who are at Camp Lake Stevens this weekend, and particularly for those adults, their faith friends and mentors who are helping to speak into their life this weekend. And so grateful for that. In just a few moments, we're going to come to the Lord's table and to gather around that meal, which reminds us and recenters us in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so in preparation for that, I want to just spend a few moments reflecting on where we are in our sermon series on boundaries. And if you haven't been with us every week, you can always listen online or subscribe to the podcast. And if something I say today doesn't make sense, my promise is I cleared it up in another sermon. How about that? But today, I want to face something that's simply true, right? Is that when we set boundaries, when we try to reset our life in God, we hope that the psalmist promise to us in the 16th chapter is true. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. But I don't know about you, but from time to time, I find myself in conflict with someone else. Is anybody else? Is it just me? And here's the truth. There will be conflict. I hate to break it to you. But even among good Christian folk, we're going to disagree on some things. And when it comes to resetting boundaries, when it comes to saying yes to good things and no to bad things, when it comes to trying to not overcommit and underdeliver, whenever we're trying to reset healthy relationships, there's going to be conflict. And so today I simply want us to walk through a process together about facing conflict. But here's the thing. My promise is not to solve your conflict. My promise is to help us face our conflict so that we might join with the psalm and say the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Not because there's no conflict, but because we have learned how to face it as Christians. Now, we've already had so much good worship, I don't want to ruin it. So it's just 8 easy steps. So we're going to go through real quickly, okay? All right? Step one, identify the symptom. Here's what I mean by this. In your life, in conflict or in boundary problems, you might feel something. You might feel angry. You might feel scared. You might feel anxious. You might feel isolated. All I want you to do in step one is simply give it a name. Explore what you're feeling and name it. For some reason in this relationship, I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling upset. In this conversation I'm having with a spouse or parent or coworker, I'm feeling guilt. The first step to facing a conflict is to name what you're feeling. That's all we're doing. We're not solving it. We're not changing it. You're just naming it. I feel sad. I feel neglected. All right, after doing that, the second step. Identify the origin of that. Identify the root of what you're feeling. Identify what is causing that emotion. And here's a really important thing. Not who is causing it, but what is causing it. Why do I feel afraid in this moment? Why do I feel angry in this moment? It may be easy to say, you're making me angry, or you're letting me down, or you're disappointing me. But that's not what this step is. This step is, why am I feeling angry? Why has what you said triggered this emotion in me? Why has your decision to say no to my request, why is that making me feel insecure or anxious? Maybe it's some experience you had in the past. Maybe this is not the first time that this happened to you. But being able to say it's not the person, but something underneath it. All right? You're doing good, okay? So we've named what you're feeling. We've identified that there's something going on beneath it. The third step, identify the boundary. So if you were with us a couple of weeks ago, we talked about all these different ways that we have boundaries that we cross, these ways in which we don't respect each other's boundaries. And so this is what step three is. You've named what you're feeling. You've identified that there's something underneath that's causing that. And step three is simply saying, you know what? What's being crossed here is a boundary of my overcommitment. I've overcommitted in a situation, and other people are letting me down, and they're not fulfilling the promises I made for them. Or perhaps the boundary line that you're trying to identify is one of a lack of exposure. This happens a lot, and sometimes it's me. Most times it's me. I will have made some decisions in my head and not shared them with anybody else. And then I wonder why they're not doing the things that I'm hoping they'll do. If you were with us a couple weeks ago, we talked about that being a law of exposure. You can't complain that people are crossing your boundaries if you've never actually identified them to each other. And so sometimes we've made decisions and made promises and people are letting us down, and we never identified the fact that we never actually named the boundary. So identify your own boundary. So still with me? Step one, name the emotion you're feeling. Identify the origin. Third, identify the boundary that's being crossed. What's happening here? And step four, identify responsibility. Now, this is where you get to name the person, right? All the way in step four. We've identified what we're feeling. We've tried to figure out why we're feeling it. We've tried to identify what boundary is being crossed. And then finally, then at step four, we're identifying who's responsible for this. And let me let you in on a little secret. You are not responsible for most of the things over which you worry. Other people's actions, other people's thoughts. What are they going to think if I tell them this? What are they going to think if I say no? What are they going to think if I have a different opinion? You're not responsible for their reactions. Oftentimes, we are so anxious and stressed out over things that other people are responsible for. You have permission to not be responsible for the whole world. Now, some of you are responsible for some people in your life, maybe a child, a parent, or a spouse. That's a different kind of responsibility. A lot of us carry around guilt and shame and anger over things that other people have done over which we have no responsibility. So identifying all this anger or all this emotion that I'm feeling, is it because of someone who's made a different decision than I would have made? And ultimately I have to realize I'm not their mom. I'm not their dad. They can make those decisions for themselves. I can love them and pray for them and support them, but they can make different decisions, and I can let them be responsible for that. So you're doing good, right? You've made it halfway through. You've named your emotion that you're feeling. You have identified the origin of where you think it's coming from. You've reflected honestly about the boundaries in your life and whether or not you've been clear. You've identified whether or not you're truly responsible. And then step five. This seems out of left field, because it is. At that moment, stop and take in all the good around you. This is what I mean by this. All of us woke up this morning, and that's an amazing gift. Even if you woke up with a little pain in your back, you woke up this morning, and that's good. Some of you have to go to work tomorrow, and you're not exactly excited about going to work tomorrow. But you have a job, and that's good. Some of you have family that kind of annoy you and get on your nerves. Anybody? But you have people you love and who love you. It was a little bit chilly this morning, but the sun was shining bright, and God's creation is beautiful. here in the middle of this process, we're pausing, intentionally pausing. We've named what's frustrating us, the emotion we're dealing with. We've named the origins of it. We've identified the boundaries that are being crossed. We've named who truly is responsible for what's going on in our life. And finally, we've stopped here and we've paused and said, you know what? But God is so good. And in spite of all that I've been going through, look at all that God has done. In step 6, practice setting some new limits. And I encourage you to do this with some people that you love and that love you. So if you think, you know what, I'm a workaholic, and I work all day, every day, even when I go home, I work on stuff at work, I feel like I'm letting my family down because of how much I'm doing, I'm stressed out, I don't like it, I'm angry, I got to tell my boss, but I'm afraid of that. So practice some baby limits. Have a good friend of yours that you trust, that you love, that respects, just to text you or call you at 5 o'clock on Monday and say, hey, have you quit work yet today? Practice empowering someone to set some limits in your life. So, you're doing good so far. You've named what are you feeling, you've named your emotion, you've identified the origin, you've worked at what are the boundaries that's being crossed, you've identified who's truly responsible, you took a deep breath and paused and looked around at all that God is giving you and doing for you. Now you're back into it, you're practicing some little limits, and step 7, now you can say no to all that bad stuff. All that stuff you identified, all that stuff that you decided isn't really your responsibility. I don't really have to worry that my cousin is posting wrong stuff on Facebook. That's not my responsibility. You've identified that other people are not making you stay late to work. You're choosing to do that, and you have the power to say no. You've identified that your best friend does love to talk to you until 12 at every night, but you now have the power to say, you know what? I don't have to answer the phone and stay up late. You can say no to the bad. Then the final step, are you ready for it? Oh, we got good time. Here we go. Forgive. Now again, this may seem like this isn't the final step to boundary setting, right? But stay with me. You've named your emotion that you've been feeling, the anger, the guilt, the anxiety, the frustration, the isolation. You've looked underneath, what's causing that? You've asked yourself, what lines are being crossed? And what am I responsible for? And what's other people's responsibility? You've taken in all of the goodness of God and realized that the world is so beautiful, the world is so created, and I'm so blessed to be here, I shouldn't be nearly as stressed out about other things. And then you dove back in and you put some new limits around yourself. And you redefined some safe ways to keep yourself from doing that. You said no to those frustrating bad things in your life. And then finally at the end, you might think, yeah, but you know what? I'm still kind of mad. I'm still kind of anxious. Yeah, intellectually, I figured it all out, but I still feel, which is the last step. Because all of us carry around those burdens in our life. Because oftentimes, the conflict that we have most is not with other people, but it's with our inner self. That guilt and shame that I got so mad, or I said those things I shouldn't, or I let someone down, or I overcommitted, and now I'm stressed out. And I want a new relationship, I want new boundaries, I want healthy ways of living, I want those boundary lines to fall in pleasant places, but I'm so weighed down by all the junk. So the last step is to forgive. Forgive others, and forgive yourself. Because here's the thing, forgiveness is like carrying around a big, full backpack, right? And you've stuffed it full of all of the junk of life, and you're mad at people for how full it is, but you're the one carrying it around. And most of the people that you might be mad at, they don't even know that you're mad at them. Forgiveness is not about condoning other people's behavior. It's not about enabling other people. Forgiveness is about simply saying to God, I don't want to carry this anymore, and allowing God to take it off your shoulders and to lay it down. Here at God's table, we put this process into practice. We name our brokenness and our sin. We come to God who teaches us that it's so much deeper, and yet His grace is sufficient. We come to this table where God tells us that you're not responsible for all the stuff you're stressing out about. I'm the king of the world. It's going to be okay. May not be easy, but it's going to be okay. Here at this table, God invites you to reset your boundaries. Here at this table, God invites you to lay down your burdens. Here at this table, God invites you to find that the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Because when we come to this table, we celebrate and remember that in His death and resurrection, Jesus has redefined the boundaries of even life and death. Which means He can reshape any boundary and redefine any relationship in this life. I want to invite you to remember that on the night in which Jesus gave Himself up for us, He took bread. He gave thanks to you, Father, and He broke the bread and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took a cup. Again, He gave thanks to you, Father. And He blessed it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink of this, all of you. For this is My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you gather to drink of it, do this in remembrance of Me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts of God in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. We pray, Father, that You would send Your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts, that by Your Spirit You would make them into the body and blood of Your Son, and by Your Spirit make us into His body, we who are redeemed by His blood. By Your Holy Spirit, make us one with each other, one with You, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at the heavenly banquet. All this we pray, uniting our voices together with the prayer He taught us to say: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I think Mott and Chubb are going to help serve along with Megan. So as the folks who will serve us come forward, I want to invite you and offer word of invitation and explanation. You can come down either aisle and receive on either side of the church, taking a piece of bread, dipping it into the cup, and then returning to your seat. You can also, if you would like, during communion, we receive a special offering for our Helping Hands ministry that blesses those who come to our door in need. So you can place those gifts in the basket on either side of the table. And then a word of invitation, which is that all are invited to the feast of the Lord. This is not our table, doesn't belong to our church, doesn't belong to our denomination. It belongs to the Lord. And so if you're here with us this morning and you're a member of our church or not a member of our church, either way you're invited. As you come to seek God in Jesus, you will find Him here. If you are visiting with us and prefer not to receive, that's okay. No one's going to look at you. You're invited to make this a time of prayer. And there in your seat, remember that wherever two or three are gathered, Jesus is with us. So now come, the ushers will direct us as we taste and see that the Lord is good. Later today, as you gather around chips and dips and TVs to watch the Chiefs win, somebody may ask you, how'd church go? And I hope you say, I saw a family make a promise to God and a child welcomed into the family of faith. I saw friends become family as we sang and worshiped together. I saw bread broken and a cup shared to remind me that life has victory over death in Jesus. I was reminded that the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. So go forth to have fun, but also to share in the good news of the grace of God that goes with you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Go in peace.